That Adele special was pretty cool. I watched some of that last night.
Oh, it was fantastic. I just thought it was a beautiful setting. You know, it was a two-hour concert outside of L.A.'s Griffith Observatory in L.A. Beautiful night, shot beautifully. Adele sounded amazing after taking a few years off of, you know, doing concerts. But also 6 years since her last new music has come out. She'll have her new album, which is called 30, coming out a little later on this week. So she did a few of her new songs and also treated the audience to some of the classics. Definitely one of my favorite singers. And she's, you know, been through a rough time in her life. That's, you know, been the focus of people trying to learn about the things that have taken place in her life, a bad relationship with her father, a marriage that didn't last very long. She recently lost about 100 pounds. And also part of this two-hour special last night was an interview that she did with Oprah, and they talked about the weight loss.
You lost 100 pounds in 2 years.
Around that, yeah.
Around that?
Around, 100 yeah.
pounds in 2 years. And then you said it wasn't even really about the weight. So no. What was it about?
It was about my anxiety, mainly. I had the most terrifying anxiety attacks after I left my marriage. They'd paralyzed me completely and made me so confused because I wouldn't be able to have any control over my body, but I knew that I was aware of it all happening. It was like I was still very much there while my whole body was just like on another planet, it felt like, you know. It was just, it became my time. Me having a plan every day when I had no plans. I had no idea what each day was going to bring for me, but me knowing that, oh, okay, at 9 a.m., I'm going to go to the gym.
It sharpened everything.
Without a shadow of a doubt. Like, it gave me real purpose. On a deadlift, we were getting up to like 160, 170. Yeah, I love it. But it started out at 10 pounds. I'm also a very good boxer. I've got a left hook that could kill you.
Yeah, that's going to be intimidating when you're interviewing someone and they tell you they've got a left hook that could kill you.
Did she say she's lifting 160 pounds?
At her peak, she said she was deadlifting 160 pounds.
I can do 30, maybe.
Right. I'm right with you. But, you know, she said I started off at 10 pounds. And then at her peak, she said she could do 160. So, you know, good for her. She talked about her failed marriage. She was very forthcoming, you know, in a way that Oprah can make you do. One of my favorite parts of the interview, Oprah was asking her about who was the seven-year-old Adele. You know, what kind of little girl was that? And she paused for a pretty long time, and she goes, "No, you are not going to make me cry," which is another Oprah trademark.
Yeah. But Oprah's backyard looked pretty good, too.
Yeah, that was her rose garden, her modest rose garden, as she said, welcome to her rose garden. So just like my backyard, like a lot of our backyards.
Not bad. Taylor Swift.
By the way, just before we get off that, if you missed it last night, the interview and the concert is streaming on Paramount Plus, so you can... If you're interested, it is still available to watch.
Got it. Sorry. Yeah, you can also see Taylor Swift online now after that 10-minute song she did on SNL.
Isn't that amazing? I was just blown away with musical performances over the weekend. She was great on Saturday Night Live. She released a new album as well over the weekend. She she's been re-recording some of her old albums. And on Friday, she re-released her she re-recorded and re-released her Red album, and in less than 24 hours, it streamed 91 million times, which broke a record on Spotify. It became the most streamed album in a day by a female performer on Spotify. The day before, she became the most streamed female in a single day in Spotify history with 123 million streams for the album. So not a bad weekend for T-Swift either.
I like that new song. Marianne was saying they all sound the same and it's too long, but I was digging it.
I liked it.
It was pretty good.
You know, it was long. It's unusual to have a 10-minute song. But, you know, I consider it, you know, you and I can relate to this as ex-DJs. anytime you get a 10-minute song, that means you can go down the hall, you know, grab a sandwich.
Oh, sure.
As a DJ, you know, you throw MacArthur Park or American Pie on, and you could take a little break. This is for all the new DJs out there.
I think Taylor Swift is, she's fun to watch, too. I mean, she's a very compelling performer, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
We'll take a quick break here, and then we'll get to the weekend box office winners and losers with Dean. Also, oh, yeah, this is really cool. The director of that Beatles documentary on 60 Minutes.
I thought about you while I was watching. Whoa. That is like, I hope Bob has the son. Man, right now.
I can't shut up about this. More on that coming up with Dean.
It's a windy city morning. Radio Chicago,
Dean, anybody go out to the movies this weekend?
Yes, indeed. And they went to see The Eternals again, despite there being several other new movies that opened this week. The Eternals held on to the number one spot at the box office. After that, Clifford the Big Red Dog came in second. The James Bond movie hanging in there this week. Venom. Let There Be Carnage hanging in there this week. That should all change in the next couple of weeks because we have some pretty huge movies opening up, you know, leading up to the Thanksgiving weekend, which is one of the biggest movie weekend of the year, including the new Ghostbusters movie, which is quite good, by the way. I know we've been disappointed in some of the Ghostbusters sequels that have come out. Paul Rudd, the newly named sexiest man alive, for 2021 is part of the new Ghostbusters movie. I'll tell you more about that at the end of the week.
Even if it's not that good, it's a way to get out from the family. You know what I mean?
Yeah, good excuse. Good excuse, yeah. Yep.
All right, now for the celebrity engagement of the weekend.
Well, this is funny because I was asking the other day, whatever happened to the actor Taylor Lautner? He was the dark-haired star in... the Twilight movies. He's the one that became the wolf in the movie. We all know what happened with Robert Pattinson and Kristen Stewart. They're very active. He really has not been. And he got engaged over the weekend. So he reemerges into public life. He proposed to his longtime girlfriend named Tay Dome over the weekend. They posted pictures all over Instagram of him down on one knee, rose petals. All over the floor, another one showing off the big rock on her finger, because none of it matters unless you're posting about it on social media, as we all know.
It doesn't exist unless you do that. We got to see some of the Beatles documentary Get Back on 60 Minutes last night, and it looks like it was shot yesterday, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, what they're able to do in restoring some of this old footage that was discovered in a vault underneath Apple recording studios in London. They bring in Peter Jackson, director Peter Jackson, who we know best from the Lord of the Rings trilogy, and he has put together this Beatles documentary that'll be coming out in a week or so called Let It Be. And he and some of the others working on it talk about the movie, and you hear some of the footage of mostly John and Paul in this clip.
A lot of syncing had to just be done by ear and by eye.
A big breakthrough on this project is the audio.
Yeah, but the way I played it was started on that.
The advances in machine learning that have allowed us to clean up the audio and things that we never thought we could hear. You know, now we can strip away the guitars and actually hear what they were saying.
Changing around these two, and when you sing, don't you know it's going to last? We sing It's a Love That Has No Past.
I'm in love for the first time.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to, you know, the whole thing put together. They hinted at that they're going to be able to show a clearer picture of the relationship between the guys. This is at the very end of the Beatles, the role that Yoko Ono played in it all. I think it's going to, if not clear up, at least give us some clarity into perceptions that we had about the Beatles, especially, you know, toward the end of their career. And there's this new book out, this new Paul McCartney book that I think you're going to talk about in the next half hour, right? With somebody.
Paul Muldoon is the poet, Pulitzer Prize winning poet, who worked with Paul on this book for 5 years.
Yeah, it's also very revealing. I've you know, heard Paul talking about this book and telling stories about the Beatles, reference to the songs that they were working on at the time. It sounds like a really interesting book. So there's a lot coming up, you know, for Beatle fans to mull over and obsess over again.
Yeah, and I will obsess over that documentary.
Hope I can find my Beatles wig that I used to have when I was a kid.
Also, let's quickly mention the Critics' Choice Documentary of the Year Award.
Yeah, this is not a surprise that the documentary called Summer of Soul was the big winner at the Critics' Choice Documentary Awards that took place last night. Summer of Soul is the documentary put together by Questlove, who is the musical director of The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, of the group Tribe Called Quest. This is the one that tells the story of this amazing music festival that took place in 1969 with people like Sly and the Family Stone, Stevie Wonder, Nina Simone, Marilyn McCoo and Billy Davis Jr. and so many others. It's just a fantastic documentary. If you haven't seen it, it's streaming online still.
Okay, and Beatlemania after the 8:30 news here. Talk to you tomorrow. Thank you, Dean.
See you then.